Many people afraid of time. Well, now, this man, he could be king. This woman, she's royalty. This woman, she's brave and strong. She's got no name, but she is family.
There are two groups that I'd like to tell you about. The first is the LGBTQ Youth of Color Group, which will meet every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. at the Longmont Youth Center at 1050 Lashley Street in Longmont. Also, there's Out and About, which is a group for gays, lesbians, bisexuals, pansexuals, asexuals, sapiosexuals, and more to share space and talk about what it's like for us at work and at home to be out and about. That group, Out and About, will meet the first and third Mondays from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at the Boulder Pride House, which is located at 2132 14th Street in Boulder. So for more information, please go to the Out Boulder County website.
We're coming up on 15 seconds before 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And that means it's time for the Opera Box.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, every palm is of merry sunshine. As we merrily dance and we sing, tra-la.
And welcome in the Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. I hope you're enjoying our spring weather, which has been typical for the Front Range. Changeable. And in honor of spring, my playlist features spring in opera, like the flowers that bloom in the spring. And I've got music of Richard Strauss, Errigo Boito, Richard Wagner, and more. So join me in the Opera Box for tonight's spring celebrations.
I've got to take under my wing, tra-la, a most an attractive old thing, tra-la, with a caricature of a face, with a caricature of a face. And that's what I mean when I say or I sing. Oh, bother the flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la. Oh, bother the flowers of spring,
tra-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la.
Well, Nanki Poo, the son of the Emperor of Japan, he's hoping to fob off his arranged fiancée to Coco, the Lord High Executioner, but Coco isn't buying it. From Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. And we heard Colin Wright as Nanki Poo, John Reed as Coco with Royston Nash, conducting the Doily Cart Opera Company. Right, so we're 4 minutes after 7 o'clock in the Opera Box here on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with Spring Scenes in Opera. Spring inspires everyone with the beauty of nature, and the next aria is sung by a girl who prefers to be among nature more than among people. Richard Strauss's 1938 opera, Daphne, is based on the Greek mythology of the virgin nymph Daphne. In the myth, Apollo lusts after the beautiful shepherd girl and chases her. Not wanting to lose her virginity, she prays to the gods, and she is turned into a beautiful laurel tree, foiling Apollo's advances. Now, in the opera, the story's changed a little bit. Daphne is not a wood nymph. She is a peasant girl, a farm peasant girl, and Apollo kills her friend Leucippos. And when Apollo sees Daphne's grief, he asks Zeus to turn her into a tree to grant her wish to be part of nature forever. And in this aria from the beginning of the opera, it's a beautiful day, and she sings of her love of the sunlight, just as the trees and flowers love sunlight.
Thank you.
Daphne prefers the company of the flowers and trees, much more than human contact. In that recording, we heard the great Hilda Gaden soprano as Daphne. Carl Böhm conducted the Vienna Opera Orchestra in a live performance of the great Richard Strauss opera. 14 minutes after 7 o'clock, you're in the Opera Box on KGNU. I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with a program featuring spring operatic scenes. And now I've got two different operatic treatments of the same moment of spring worship, both based on Goethe's Faust. First, we're going to hear the Damnation of Faust by Hector Berlioz. Now, most people know the plot of Faust, the philosopher who makes a deal with the devil for ultimate knowledge, right? He's tried unsuccessfully his whole life to understand the meaning of life and the universe. In the first part of Berlioz's treatment of the story, Faust is observing simple peasants in prayer and their joy in spring and Easter celebration. He realizes he will never know that simple happiness nor accept the world as it is. From The Damnation of Faust by Hector Berlioz. The philosopher Faust lamenting that he'll never learn the meaning of life nor find peace and happiness like the peasants who are celebrating Easter and spring. We heard the great tenor Nikolai Gedda as Faust. Georges Prêtre conducted the orchestra and chorus of the Paris Opera. Well, it's about 21 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock, and you are in the Opera Box here on KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadell, with scenes of spring in opera. And I'm going to follow up on that setting of the Faust plot with Faust lamenting and contrasted by the peasants who are celebrating Easter. I'm going to follow that up with a contrasting setting by the Italian composer Arrigo Boito. Now, Boito is most famous as a librettist for other composers such as Puccini. But Mephistopheles is his own operatic masterpiece. And in his setting, the peasant celebration is extended and much more joyous than Berlioz. Where Berlioz peasants were solemn and devotional, Boito makes it a festival. Faust and his friend Wagner, no relation to the composer, they're observing the celebrations, and Faust is caught up in the beauty of spring himself, and yet feels deeply unsatisfied, preoccupied by the mysteries of life.
Thank you.
sovra quel sasso. Osserva come fulgoreggia la vespro le capanne. Dolce la casa. A che so guardi nel crepuscolo assorto.
Faust is moved by the beauty of spring, but this only serves to increase his wish to know the meaning of life and his sense of isolation. From Boito's Mephistopheles, and we heard the great Plácido Domingo as Faust. Thomas Allen was his friend Wagner. Julius Rudel conducted the London Symphony and the Ambrosian Chorus. It's about 23 minutes before 8 o'clock. You want to hang around for a Classic Monday. Stay with me because I'll have the 24th program in my series on the symphony. And tonight the music will be of the American composers Howard Hanson and William Grant Still. That's at 8 p.m. tonight right here on KGNU.
Hi, I'm Ann Candelo. Please join Alan Klaverstrom, Gary McBride, Ray Wentz, and me and others for Present Edge every Monday night from 10 to 12. The Present Edge explores the leading edge of contemporary classical music, avant-garde, and experimental sounds. If you enjoy contemporary music or want to know when to find us on KGNU, The Present Edge on Monday nights is from 10 to 12 is a good place. Thanks for listening, and see you on the air.
Well, from pious celebrations of Easter, we move now to a pagan celebration of spring in Saint-Saëns' Samson et Dalila. Saint-Saëns' opera, of course, is based on the Bible story of the Hebrews enslaved by the Philistines and the strong man Samson's weakness for the seductress Delilah. In the first act, the Hebrews pray to God for relief from their bondage. And as a contrast to their suffering, the Philistine women begin a pagan celebration of spring.
Sanctus et puissance.
your chorus of Philistine women in a pagan celebration of spring, while the Hebrew slaves pray for deliverance from slavery. From Samson et Dalila by Camille Saint-Saëns. And in that recording, we heard Giuseppe Pitani conducting the Bavarian Opera Orchestra. I'm going to close tonight's operatic paean to spring with the love scene from Wagner's Die Walküre, The Valkyrie, part two of Wagner's four-opera Norse mythology epic, The Nibelung's Ring. At the beginning of Act One of The Valkyrie, a young man takes refuge in a hut during a storm. When he bursts into the hut, he finds a woman there named Sieglinde. In the middle of the hut is a huge tree growing right up through the roof. Sieglinde's husband Hunding arrives, and the stranger's asked to explain himself. Well, he was chased by a clan of brutish men who were taking part in a forced marriage. He tried to defend the young girl, but was outnumbered and had to flee for his life. Well, turns out Hunding is a member of that clan. He allowed the stranger to stay the night, as the custom of hospitality demands, but he informed the stranger that, weaponless or not, they will fight a battle in the morning. Well, Sieglinde gave Hunding a sleeping potion so she could talk to the stranger. And while they were talking, the door to the hut swung open, and moonlight flooded in to the hut. This startled her. And in the scene you're going to hear, the stranger calms her. "It's spring that has come in," he said. Sieglinde tells him that she was abducted as a girl and later forced to marry Hunding. During the wedding ceremony, a stranger came in and plunged a sword into the tree, declaring that the sword will come out only for the man who needs it. "For years, men have tried unsuccessfully to pull the sword from the tree," she tells them. The stranger says that bad luck has followed him since he was a boy. His mother and sister were abducted while he and his father were hunting. When Sieglinde asks him about his father, she realizes he is her brother Siegmund. The sword must be meant for him. With both hands, he grasps the sword and pulls it from the tree. The siblings declare their love for each other and run out into the night.
Stürme wichen dem Wonnemond, in mildem Lichte leuchtet der Lenz. Auf Lindenlüften leicht und lieblich wunderwebend er sich wiegt. Durch Wald und Tal weht sein
Thank you.
Siegmund and Sieglinde run off into the night. into the spring night from the end of Act One of Die Walküre, The Valkyrie, by Richard Wagner. Well, this is your host, Ron Nadell. I want to thank you all for joining me this evening for the Opera Box and my program on spring scenes. And I hope you'll join me next month as well. Stay tuned now for a Classic Monday.
From the Boulder Marriott, offering room accommodations and Colorado dining in Canyons Restaurant. Details at bouldermarriotthotel.com.
It's coming up 4 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. It's time for a Classic Monday. Well, good evening and welcome to A Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell, with part 24 of my series of programs tracing the development of the symphony from its Baroque origins in the Concerto Grosso of the 1600s to today. Tonight's segment continues our survey of American symphonists with Howard Hanson and William Grant Still. We'll hear the developing American style with their symphonies, such as Hanson's fourth